Hello and welcome to Sling Stones. My name is Aaron Wardle, and over the last weeks I've been giving a little introduction for the podcasts that were recorded earlier this year. And again, I'm amazed to see how the things that the Lord laid on my dad's heart in January and February that are now being released in the Sling Stones podcast speak poignantly and prophetically to what we are going through. As he begins to speak this week on the podcast entitled In a Land of My Suffering, Reflections on the Life of Joseph, I believe this is something for us to listen to that is a comfort, that in the midst of our suffering, that the Lord will meet us there and that he will bless us with his presence. But even in the midst of our suffering, we can become a blessing to those around us. That in the midst of the suffering, opportunity can arise in which the kingdom of God can move through us to impact others. And so as you listen, I pray that you are healthy, that you are safe, and that also that we begin to position ourselves to be a people who are blessed to be a blessing. And the kingdom of God will move through our lives. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I have been rereading and reading anew Anne Lamott recently. If you don't know Anne Lamott, she is an outstanding writer. As a matter of fact, her book Bird by Bird is about how to write, and I've read that at least two or three times, and it's really a good piece. But she also is a person who's on a pilgrimage of faith. Now, admittedly, her pilgrimage is moving through a very progressive, somewhat liberal path. And yet it's genuinely a journey, and she has some genuine insights on her own encounter with God and her own growth as a person of faith. The book Traveling Mercies might be for you a good place to start, or her very good book, Help, Thanks, Wow, which is all about prayer. But in the beginning of her book, Almost Everything, Notes on Hope, she writes these words. I'm going to read two pages to you. I am stockpiling antibiotics for the apocalypse, even as I await the blossoming of paper whites on the windowsill in the kitchen. The news of late has captured the fever dream of modern life, everything exploding, burning, being shot, or crashing to the ground all around us, while growing older has provided me with a measure of perspective and equilibrium. Towns and cities, ice fields, democracy, people all disappear while we rejoice and thrive in the spring and the sweetness of old friendships. Families are tricky. There is so much going on that flattens us, that is huge, scary, and simply appalling. We're doomed, stunned, exhausted, and over-caffeinated. And yet, outside my window, yellow roses bloom and little kids horse around making a joyous racket. In general, it doesn't feel like the light is making a lot of progress. It feels like death by annoyance. At the same time, the truth is that we are beloved, even in our current condition, by someone we have loved and been loved. We have been redeemed and saved by love, even as a few times we have been nearly destroyed, and worse, seen our children nearly destroyed. We are who we love. We are one. We are autonomous. Love has bridged the high rises of despair. We were about to fall between them. Love has been a penlight in the blackest, bleakest nights. Love has been a wild animal, a poultice, a dinghy, a coat. Love is why we have hope. What you notice in the section I've read is there's a tension between two extremes in what Anne Lamott is sharing. On the one hand, it's difficulty. It's trial. It's suffering. It's hard times. It's loss and grief and mourning. But on the other hand, it's new birth and joy and hope and love, serendipity, and being surprised by small miracles and even large ones. It reminds me of what we've talked about before, that we often live our life in a tension between difficulty and hope, suffering and joy, and you have to hold both of them at the same time. And I guess part of it is that given that life has its difficulties, to be able to gain perspective on the fact that God is always there with us, that he not only wants to meet us there, but he wants to provide us with treasures, even in the midst of difficult times. Now, what really brought this to mind for me is the reading through of Scripture again. So it's early in the year as I do this podcast, and I've just finished some of the early books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and so forth. And as when I was reading through the story of Joseph, that I began to feel this tension again between difficulty and joy, suffering and hope. You know the story of Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him because his father favored him. They end up selling him. He goes into Egypt. And he is accused of sexual misconduct with Potiphar's wife. Now, one of the things that's said when Joseph became a slave of Potiphar, that the Lord was always with Joseph and he prospered. Okay, that's the good side. That's the joy. But then he faces this trial where he's accused of something he doesn't do, and he ends up being put into prison. But again, Scripture says, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. And of course, out of this comes the story of the cupbearer and the baker, who both have dreams, and how Joseph interprets the dreams. And the cupbearer is restored to his position with Pharaoh. The baker, he's not. He's executed. And one of the things that Joseph said is, you know, say a good word for me. And the guy didn't. But later on, Pharaoh has a dream. And the cupbearer remembers that Joseph was able to interpret the dream. So they call Joseph in, and he goes and he is before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asks him if he can interpret the dream. And notice what Joseph said. I can't. I cannot do it. But God will. Wow. That's, again, this amazing ability to recognize a person's weakness on the one hand and yet God's provision on the next. And so he does interpret, and Joseph is put in charge of everything. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh goes so far as to say, you're in charge of everything except the throne itself. And Joseph has power. He has favor. He gains prosperity. And there's this line that comes in verse 52 of chapter 41. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. He didn't say God took away my suffering, because he did suffer. He did face difficulty. But it says that God made him fruitful in the midst of that difficulty. That's an amazing lesson here. That often when I'm in difficulty, all I think about is the difficulty. But if we believe that God is always with us, if we believe Ezekiel in chapter 14, where it says God does nothing without cause, if we believe Psalm 139, that basically says that there's nowhere that we can go from God's presence, then somehow, even in the time of difficulty, if we look around, we will find there the provision and the kindness and the goodness of God. Now, you know the story goes on that Joseph's family begins to suffer in Israel, and so they hear that there's food in Egypt, and they go, and the brothers have this long encounter with their brother Joseph, who at first doesn't reveal himself to them. In time, he does. And when he makes himself known to his brothers, after they've made a few trips back and forth and a little bit of tension, he reveals himself and says to them, come close to me. I am your brother Joseph. Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. It was not you who sent me here, but God. How easy it would have been for Joseph to have bitterness over his circumstance. I've had difficulties myself and, you know, faced individuals that were opposing me or wanting to eliminate the ministry that I was doing in a particular place of employment. And yet the perspective of Joseph is this: even in the midst of that difficulty, somewhere God is active, God is present. And as it says here, let me read it again. It was to save lives that God sent me here. It was not you who sent me, but God. That's an amazing passage of Scripture. And how many times that I have been in difficulty, that I have complained and in many ways fought against what God was doing. But then as I look at it in the long run, I see that God was very present. I can think so easily of a time a couple decades ago when it looked like I might never have a ministry again, and that my mental and emotional health had bottomed out, that I was just hoping to be able to have a job, even if it was repairing toilets, to take care of my family. And yet, God in His mercy and God in His grace had allowed me to walk through that. And out of that has come this ministry that, well, it's touched some lives. It's part of why I do Sling Stones and healing care ministry in itself, and what motivated me to develop seminars on formational prayer and empowerment ministries of the Holy Spirit and so forth. I saw it as a difficulty that could break me. But in the breaking, there was a making. The book of Genesis ends with Joseph again reassuring his brothers, wanting to make sure that they recognized that even after their father passed, he was not going to turn on him. On them. He didn't have bitterness toward them. And he writes this in verse 19 and 20. Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. I am where God wants me to be. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children. And so Joseph was reassuring them that God had a purpose even in the midst of this. I know it's hard to hold on to. There may be somebody right now struggling. You may be going through a difficult time, possibly relationally, possibly with your health, possibly with employment, and you have every right in the world to cry out in your lament, to be honest about that difficulty, to not pretend that it's better than it is, but at the same time, how important it is that you're able to hold on to joy and hope as well. The hope that God is able to break through, and the joy that He's even present now in the midst of this. I think there's nothing more exciting than those testimonies where we're able to say that what was meant to break us is part of what has shaped us. And what we thought we were going to lose became the very event that enabled us to embrace a ministry that can touch other people. That's the foundation. That's why, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about the whole idea of the Thessalonian Christians. In a time of great suffering, they experienced great joy. They didn't pretend about the suffering. It was real. And they grieved their loss, and they faced into it. But there was still joy in the knowledge that God was present. And it's so much the same when we read Hebrews 12 about Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the loss, endured the pain. I would not be honest if I were trying to convince you that with God there will never be difficulties, there'll never be tough times, there'll never be trials. That's not the way it's going to go. We live on a world where there is a combination of both loss and new birth. There are seasons when it seems like the darkness is coming in, and yet the sun dawns. There is a new spring. There is hope. And the promise of God is that He's present in it all. We need to hold hands in this. We need to gather around one another. We need to remind ourselves that the story of Joseph is there for a purpose, and in part, it's there for us, that we can remember that in the midst of difficulty, hope arises, that there can be joy even in suffering, and that God is always present. May you know today that His face shines upon you.